Our gospel lesson for this morning is the one sentence that we heard about in the children's sermon. It's short, but there's a lot in there. So, out of reverence for the gospel, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
I love the Bible. I like to read it. I like to try and interpret it. I like to study it. I like to find something I've never found before in it. It's always an adventure. I don't like to lift out one verse of the Bible because it doesn't give you a true picture or reading. If you just take a verse out and paste it over here, then you can almost make that verse say what you want it to. But if you read it in context, then it's got a specific meaning. So I don't like to lift out just one text of the Bible. And so I'm probably going to preach to you from John 3, 1 through 17, instead of just John 3:16. We had Bible scholars this week who graduated again from Disciple, this time Disciple 2. Are any of those folks here? I know there's three over here. Four? Yep. Would you stand, five back here? There's another. Would you stand up, please, and let us congratulate you? That's 32 weeks of Bible study. So they know you don't just lift a piece out of the Bible and make it say what you want to. And so they'll be patient with me today. I was able to go and serve communion to that disciple Bible study, and deep questions in there and a lot of intellectual thought, but also a lot of spiritual thought going on in there. The Bible has some of anything you want, has love stories in it, war stories in it, adventure stories in it. And that when I was doing youth, where's Lavonia? When I was doing youth, if I really wanted to challenge a bunch of kids to read the Bible, I would tell them you can read every ounce, every book, every verse. You can read all of it except for one, which is rated R. Do not read the Book of Solomon. It is rated R. It is a wisdom book. Do not read it. And they would immediately come back with all these questions from the Book of Solomon. Then they were hooked. They wanted to see if there might be something else in that book that they could read. There's some strange and unusual things in the Bible. Like, did you know there's a place in the Bible that talks about an axe head floating on water? Yep. Or there was an army of left-handed men. Yep. Or there was an army that lapped water like dogs. Yep. All there. There was also a woman who tempted a man to come into her tent and then took her sword and killed him dead as a hammer. So be careful, men, if women are trying to get you in their tent. Yes. Yes, Martin, you should remember that. You go home and look it up. It's in Deborah. Deborah did, it was the general, yes. So great fun to read the stories of the Bible, and there's a little bit of something for everybody in there, and mostly there's a lot of good spiritual fodder for everybody. Some of the verses are very familiar to us. There are some people who quote the Bible with things that are not in the Bible. My grandmother knew and often said, cleanliness is next to godliness. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that. It is not there. But at night, when I was a little girl in a small southern town, you washed your feet before you went to bed if you didn't wash anything else. And she would say it every time, cleanliness is next to godliness. It's in the Bible, she would say. But here's some that are very familiar that are in the Bible. This is the day that the Lord has made. Absolutely. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. whence there you go. Very good. And then there's one that says, I was glad. A decree went out from. Listen, Fran Scott's getting an A back here. Okay, how about this one? Jesus. For God so loved the world that. Some of these sayings from the Bible, verses, actual writings, are so familiar to us that we don't even hear them anymore. John's gospel is like none other. His main point always, 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 his main point is to get us to see Jesus as the Son of God. John also helps us to see the Jews, the people around Jerusalem, through Jesus' eyes. So we can get a true picture of what he's teaching and why he's using those particular words or parables. According to his gospel, when the part we read today, and if you'll go back and at home today, read 1 through 17 instead of just 3:16, you will find out that it is Passover time. Jesus is in Jerusalem. It is getting more and more dangerous. It is close to the time that he will be arrested and eventually crucified. Nicodemus, a leader of the congregation, came to see Jesus, and it says, by night. I used to quote this one to my children when they were teenagers. No good thing happens after midnight. If you have to sneak around in the dark to do it, it's probably not worth doing. I still believe that. That's why we don't have lock-ins here. If we have lock-ins at midnight, we take them all to the Waffle House and then deliver them home. No good thing happens after midnight. It would have been foolish for him to have been seen with Jesus during the day, however. And when he came to him, he called him Rabbi. He recognized that he had come from God, but Jesus chastised Nicodemus because he said, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. In other words, Nicodemus saw him as a teacher. Jesus was the Messiah. He came from God, a messenger of God, representing God, God with skin on. Now, how many of us do that? How many of us recognize Jesus by what our mamas or our daddies have taught us or shown us? But have we really had our own experience? How many know Christ in our heads but not in our hearts? Jesus tried his best to explain to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus was far too confused and far too practical. He didn't understand being born from above or being born a second time. He wanted to go back to the physical birth. We all have our birth stories. There's not a one of us that have children that don't remember the day, the time, the place, what you were eating for breakfast that morning, all those things. But Jesus wasn't talking about that birth. He was talking about the birth of a soul. He was talking about a new beginning. He was talking about spiritual matters. He was talking about a deeper and more mysterious birth. He was talking about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love is what we don't understand. Love is what Nicodemus didn't understand. Unconditional love, unlimited love, love that has no boundaries, love that will not let us go, love that cannot be measured, love that does not fit into our time and space, love that goes beyond anything we can even begin to imagine. Love that knows us best and loves us most. This Jesus has messed up our world. our way of thinking. Laws, we had laws. We could keep laws. We understood laws. The do nots and the do's. Do give to the poor. Do not be selfish. We can understand those laws. It is black and white. It is absolutes. Give a little to the poor. Give 10% to the church. Keep the Sabbath. But this Jesus brought love into that equation, into the world, in a way that we can no longer have an absolute. We have to think with our hearts. Sometimes we have to think with our hearts and lead with our heads, but certainly we have to think with our hearts. The rich young ruler came and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he wanted a list of here's what you must do and here's what you must not do. But Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Uh-oh. That's love. Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, you must be born from above. Uh-oh. Jesus said, those who want to serve me must put their hand to the plow and not look back. Uh-oh. Let the dead bury the dead. Uh-oh. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's love. And we're not talking about a Hallmark kind of love. We're talking about nothing that is romantic or sentimental, but hard, tough stuff. Things like, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another. This is simple. For God so loved the world. But it's also profound. I've heard preachers and Sunday school teachers say, and I used to think it was very clever, that we take out the word world and put in our names. For God so loved Royce that he gave his only begotten son. Well, you just narrowed that thing down and made oversimplified tapioca pudding of it. That's not what it says. What it says is that for God so loved the world, each of us surely, but all of us collectively. And that means the poor folks and the rich folks, the black folks and the white folks, the conservative folks and the liberal folks, the folks of every nation and race, the straight folks and the gay folks, the men and the women and the boys and the girls. It says, for God so loved the world. And that's family. And it makes us family. And I don't know about you, but I got some crazy cousins. Brothers and sisters, that's what we are. I believe as we go into General Conference that there's going to be things in the paper and things that they want to split and things that we argue about and things that we can't agree on and all those things. But I believe more strongly than that, that there's more things we have in common than we have different. We do have some strange family members, no doubt. But Garrison Keillor, you know Garrison Keillor? Don't you just love his writing? He just puts it out there and you think, why didn't I think of that? He says this, and I'm going to take a minute to read to you. We make fun of Methodists for their blandness and their excessive calm, their fear of giving offense, their lack of speed. You think our committees work slow? And also for their secret fondness for macaroni and cheese. But nobody sings like the Methodist. He says, if you are Methodist and are watching a Star Wars movie, when they say, may the force be with you, we automatically answer, and also with you. From Lake Wobegon, we learn that when someone dies, the Methodists take to the kitchen quickly and come out bearing casseroles that include several cups of love. I want you to know that Les Hammond's mother has died. He is in Texas, and I want you to know that she did, in fact, die yesterday morning. And I think I feel loose-ended because I can't get to him. I can't, well, I never take casseroles. I take the paper goods. But a lot of love. Garrison Keillor says he knows that Methodists believe in miracles and expect them, especially during the stewardship campaign, Bobby. And their pastors should visit them in the hospital even when they don't let their pastor know they're in the hospital, but they will tell everybody when the pastor doesn't come to the hospital. Jeff Foxworthy wants to get in on that act. He says, you may be a United Methodist if the Cross and Flame box of shorts seem the perfect Christmas gift for you. You gave him box of shorts with Cross and Flames, didn't you? For God so loved me and you and all our crazy cousins, the whole world, that he gave his only son so that all who believe will not perish but have eternal life. And then he told us, you need to love all your brothers and sisters, every one of your cousins, just like God loves them. Now, you better get used to that, because that's what heaven will be like. Amen.